God is good, isn't he? Amen. So glad to be with you guys again once more. Such a blessing to be in this place. Honestly, every time I come, me and my wife Margo, we just get filled with the Spirit and blessed with the Word here. So I'm glad to see all you again. Before we start worshiping, I just would like to take time to quiet our souls before God and spend a minute or two in prayer. I'm going to just leave a moment of silence to let you just open your heart to God right now and speak to Him. Tell Him what are you coming here for and what are your expectations from this morning. And then we're going to start worship shortly. Yes, Father, we thank you that your word says if two or three are gathered in your name, God, you'll be in the midst. We thank you that you are here in this room tonight, God, or today, this morning, God, and you'll be walking among this room, God, and healing and speaking and blessing, God, and changing. We thank you that you are a good, good Father. Thank you that you are faithful, God. So merciful, so graceful. We thank you for your love, God, that never runs out on us, God. And we are here just to worship, God, at your feet right now, God. Victorious, God, that you've made a way for us to the Father. You've taken down all the walls, all the barriers. Set us free. And we're going to sing of that this morning, God. We're going to declare it in the enemy, to the enemy this morning, God. Our worship, the way we live, God, and the Word. We ask, God, that you and only you, God, would be glorified this morning, God.
We live for you. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath that we ever breathe, we live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath you could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you, God. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show in your love to those around me. Thou will be my light upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my count on one thing. Same God that never fails, but now fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. He's working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will speak for joy when my heart is heavy for all my aches. Oh, yes, I will, and I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. But nothing can stand against, and I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. But nothing can stand. Sing it together. And I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. That nothing can stand against. And I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. That nothing can stand against. Oh, yes, I will lift you high in my lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy for all my aches. Oh, yes, I will. Oh, yes, I will, for all my days. Oh, yes, I will. Cause it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, only. Great are you, yeah.
one more last time together.
In all the earth to set your praise, a sick cry, these bones to sing.
Love, you rescued me so I
I can't stand and see. I am a child of God. Oh, 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 your splendor sees so I can walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I will stand and sing. I am a child of God. Oh, I am a child of God. 'Cause I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Yes, I'm no longer a slave to fear. 'Cause I am a child of God. No, I'm no longer a slave to fear. 'Cause I am a child of God. Yes, I'm no longer a slave to fear. For I am a child of God. I am a child of God.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Cause to worship you, I live. To worship you, I live to worship you. Oh, oh, to worship you, I live. To worship you, I live to worship you.
Let's sing it together.
To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live to worship you. Oh, 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 oh. To worship you, I live to worship you.
All together.
To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live and live. To worship you.
Doesn't
ain't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My feet doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My feet doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My feet doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Oh, standing on the rock.
Bow our heads and pray right now. God, we thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you. We worship you. We bless your name, God. For you are good. You are faithful, God. We thank you that our fear just doesn't stand a chance, even a little chance, God, when we are in your presence, God. Lord, we thank you that at your feet, God, we find rest. The maker of our soul, the creator, the almighty, we worship the living king. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the word that you have prepared for us this morning, God. We thank you for the blessing, God, that's awaiting us right now. I pray, Lord, that you just open our hearts, God. Continue to do your work in us, God. As you did in worship, God, it will do in this word. That we will hear your voice, God, loud and clear, God. That we can't ignore it anymore, God. Take away our stubbornness, God, our stiffness. Sometimes, God. Help us to fix our eyes on you alone right now, God, in these moments. We seek your face, God. We seek your face. And we thank you that you're the greatest provider, God. You never hold back. You never hold back. You give and you give abundantly, God. You're a generous God. Lord, we worship you, God. We love you, and we bless your holy name in Jesus' name.
Amen. Say if they're a dad or a dad to be. Hi, baby.
you. You too. So I guess we'll collect the offering after the service today. That's okay. We'll do things a little out of order. It's fine. It's fine. No problem. Not a worry at all. Let's go ahead and dismiss the children, and then we'll get into this morning's word, and then we will pray. Are you reading this morning, Matt? It's a long one. All right.
All right. Good morning, everybody. How are we doing today? I didn't hear anybody. How are we doing today? There we go. All right. So this morning's reading is going to be from Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his work in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for your goodness in our life. We thank you for your presence that's here. We thank you for a beautiful day that you have created. We honor you. We honor this time. We ask, Lord, that you would minister to our hearts uniquely, individually, as only you can, that you would give us the ears to hear and the heart to receive, and the hunger and the thirst, Lord God, to desire more and more of you. Make your word clear this morning. Cause it to be fresh and alive and penetrating to the deepest parts of who we are. Bless the children as they are receiving, and give them to draw close to your heart and to thrive and to grow and to be near to your heart always. Protect them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Again, happy Father's Day to everyone and to all the fathers to be. So, awesome. So, in honor of Father's Day, I'd like to glean some thoughts here from Psalm 103 with respect to our Heavenly Father. And the author of this particular psalm, you know, there's 150 psalms, and many of them are written by David. This particular author is David here, who learned early on in his life to rely on his Heavenly Father, as God as his Father, because it seemed like, when you read the story of his life, it appeared that he didn't really have a close relationship with his earthly dad. He didn't have a really good connection with his earthly father, and so he relied on the Heavenly Father to be his dad. And as a shepherd boy, he would worship the Lord, and David is reminding himself to bless the Lord. You know, it's good to talk to ourselves from once in a while. It's good to remind ourselves once in a while, because we know some truths, but we forget some truths. I know some things, I've heard some things, I've learned some things, but I forget many of those things as life goes on. And so it's okay for us to stop once in a while and to remind ourselves and say, hey, self, bless the Lord. And don't forget all his benefits. because he has done so much for you. He has done so much to help you. And so I'd like to share four quick things with you this morning. Whenever I use the word quick, it means nothing. Good. Good job, class. The first one is that he pardons. The Lord, our God, our Father, he pardons. Secondly, he pities. Thirdly, he promotes. And then finally, he performs. Let's begin with the first one, which is he pardons, beginning here in verse 3. Psalm 105, verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all of your diseases. The first thing that is mentioned here is that our Heavenly Father forgives, which is a theme that runs out throughout the whole Old Testament and the New Testament. Allow me to share some passages of Scripture with you from the Word of God. Isaiah 40, verse 1, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her. What are you going to say? That her warfare is ended. What warfare? What is that you're talking about? That her iniquity is pardoned. Her struggle isn't with other people. Your problem isn't with your surroundings, isn't with your circumstances. Your main issue in life is that you need to have forgiveness in your soul. He's saying your warfare is ended. Why? Because I am pardoning the iniquity that is in your heart. Look at Isaiah 43 and 25. I am he who blots out your... It's written right there, class. Your transgressions for my own sake, and remember your sins no more. I'm not going to remember your sins anymore. And this is not just in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament there in Matthew 26, 28, where Jesus is saying, for this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. He's saying, I paid the price with my blood to redeem you. I'm not just forgiving you because I'm batting my eye and saying, oh, forget about that. Let's just put that under the rug. No, he's saying, I am dealing with your sin. I am dealing with your transgression, and I'm taking the punishment on myself and shedding my own blood so that you can be free, so that you can walk in that level of freedom. And again, in Ephesians 1 and 7, in him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And so God's desire is to forgive and to restore us back into fellowship with him. Our Lord paid a heavy price to reconcile us back to himself. Not taking care of most of our sins, but he's taking care of all of our sins. All of them. Because this is the great chasm between God and man. Our biggest problem is not paying the bills and raising the children. That is not your biggest problem. Although sometimes it can seem or appear that way. That is not it. But also trying to find your ministry or your purpose in life, that is not the issue. But listen, being separated from the source of life, being separated from the source of hope and peace, that is our greatest struggle. And so David reminds himself, this is how your Heavenly Father forgives you totally and completely. And he doesn't forgive on a case-by-case basis. The doors are always wide open for the forgiveness. And he's saying, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I separated your sins from you, and my mercies on you are renewed every morning, the book of Jeremiah tells us, and as high as the heavens above the earth, so high are my thoughts towards you, says the Lord. He doesn't forgive on a case-by-case basis. This is important for God's children to remember, because I don't have to start over again every time I fall. Some believers live that kind of lifestyle, like you have to start all over again every time you make a mistake with God, and you don't. You don't. Listen, we do make mistakes, do we not? We all stumble in many things, the Bible tells us. But when we stumble, when I fall, I need to get back up again. I need to rise up again. I need to pick myself up again and say, you know what? Though a man falls seven times, he will rise and stand once again. Because if any man is in Christ, the Bible says he's a new creation. I'm not starting over with God every single time. When you were born, a baby's born how many times into your life? That baby you're holding there, Assam, how many times was he born? A baby is born one time. That's bad math right there. A baby is born one time into a family. A family. Believers who don't understand this are always starting over with God, and that is an exhausting way to live your life. What about when we make mistakes, though? What about those mistakes that we make with God? Missing the mark before a holy God. The author of this particular psalm here can relate to missing it before God, because he's made his share of mistakes. When he was being chased by Saul, he said to himself, I will surely be killed by the hand of Saul. And he ran to take coverage or refuge in the camp of the enemy. When he finally became king, he made his share of mistakes. His best friend was killed. One of his closest allies was killed, and he took his wife. And so he murdered that best friend, and he had an adulterous affair with his wife. He knows his share of mistakes. He has his issues in life. But when he finally confessed his sin, the prophet Nathan came to him in 2 Samuel 12, and he said, so the Lord has taken your sin away from you. Your sin has been removed away from you. It has been placed on another. So being forgiven then is our greatest need because it sets us free. It sets us free. And before before her death, a well-known novelist said this, what I envy most about you Christians is your forgiveness because I have no one to forgive me. I have no one to forgive me. Listen, we have guilt and we have shame that we walk around with that is built into our human nature. That's the way God designed us. And the only way to get rid of that is by confessing our sin to God and knowing and believing that if we confess our sins, He is faithful in what? To do what? To forgive all of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen to Isaiah 55 and verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and He will have mercy on him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. What does that mean? That means if you're involved in a particular sin right now, if you are grappling with a particular sin right now, God is calling each of us into His presence back to Him, and He's saying, let Him return to the Lord because God's going to have mercy on you and He will abundantly pardon. Isn't that good news? No one thinks it's good news. It's great news. It's great news. So the first thing He does is He pardons. Secondly, He pities. Verse 13. He pities us. As a father has compassion or pity on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Good fathers try to understand more than simply the facts about their children, but they have compassion when their children have certain weaknesses. And all the parents said, yeah. Knowing that we don't normally get it right with God, God understands our frailty and He has compassion on us because He says He remembers that we are but dust. He knows that we are frail. He knows how weak we are. And so He sympathizes with our frailty and He's mindful of these weaknesses. And we don't need compassion when things are going well, my friends. We need compassion when things are not going so well. And God is abundant in compassion. Do you know why? Because often we make a mess of things, yes? Only two of us? And the rest of us need prayer? Compassion is needed when we're down, when we're out, when we are hurting. During the days of Joshua, when he passed away and Israel lost their way because no one had known the Lord after that time, and they began worshiping one idol after the next. And as a result, the enemies came and they plundered them. Seven different nations over a 300-year period came in and they began to plunder the Israelites and made them captive, made them into a place of bondage. And so they would cry out to God and God would send a deliverer. And then they would cry out to God and He would send another deliverer. And after walking with God back and forth for a while, they would return back into this idolatry. And this happened over and over and over again. But I want you to notice something that happened in Judges chapter 10 and verses 11 through 16. The Lord said to the sons of Israel, did I not deliver you from the Egyptians? Because they were first captive in Egypt, yes? And then to the Amorites, the sons of Ammon and the Philistines, also to the Sidonians and the Amalekites and the Moabites oppressed you, and you cried out to me and I delivered you from their hand, yet you have forsaken me and served other gods. Therefore, I will no longer deliver you. Go and cry out to your gods whom you have chosen. Let them deliver you in time of your distress. And the sons of Israel said to the Lord, we have sinned. Do to us whatever seems good to you, only please deliver us this day. So they put away the foreign gods from among them, and they served the Lord. And He could bear the misery of Israel no longer. What's that? He's saying to them, listen, I have delivered you and you went away. And then I delivered you and you went away again. And then I delivered you again and you went away. And this happened time after time after time. And He's saying, I'm not going to do this anymore. And they said, do to us what you desire to do. Only have mercy on us. When they did that, It says, and his soul could no longer bear the misery of Israel. And what does he do? He has compassion again, because his mercies are renewed upon us every single morning. This is, I'm preaching myself happy now. This is good news for us, because that is the kind of God that we serve. He is good in that way. Isaiah 63 and 9 says, in all of their affliction, he was afflicted. God had every right to say no more. That's enough. But he feels the pain that we go through, and he sympathizes. God understands our thoughts, and he understands our frailty. He understands our thoughts and our frailty. So he pities us. He pardons us, and then he pities us. Thirdly, he promotes us. He promotes us. What does that mean? He doesn't just forgive and sympathize, but he lifts us up. Many good dads will place their children on their shoulder when they're able to. So long as they're small enough to put them on their shoulder, they will able to carry them there. It's a special time of bonding and love between the parent and the child. It makes the child feel safe and untouchable, and so special to their dad. And it gives the child a different perspective when they're sitting up here. They're no longer looking from a 1.5 feet or 2 feet perspective on life. They're sitting over dad's shoulders. Because when you're little, dad's a giant. Then you get bigger yourself and you realize he's no giant. He's just big. Verse 19 says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Listen, by his word and through his spirit and by fellowship with other believers, God sends us an invitation to be seated high with him. And he tells us in the book of Exodus chapter 19, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and I brought you to myself. Have you ever seen an eagle? Ever seen an eagle soar? Ever seen an eagle land? Where do they land? They land in the high cleft of? Somebody help me, please. In the high cleft of? The rocks, up on high. They don't have their nests down here like the pigeons clucking around or the chickens clucking around. No. They soar into the heights, into the high cleft of the mountains, and that's where they do life. That's where they have their nest. That's where they have their fellowship, up there. And he's saying, I brought you out of Egypt, and I brought you on eagle's wings, and carried you up there, and I'm inviting you to come and join me in that process. You ever watch a survival show? I love watching survival shows. They will put someone in the middle of a wilderness, in the middle of nowhere, and you got a day or a week or whatever to make your resources, and find your way home. The first thing that I learned, because I know nothing about nature, I was never a Boy Scout, I was never any of that, so I'm watching and I'm learning, and the first thing they do, especially if they have a mentee that they're training, is they find the highest mountain or highest hill. And they say, we're going to climb up that highest mountain or highest hill. Why? Because we want to begin to survey the land. Why is that? I'll tell you. Because that's where you're going to find where the water sources are. When you're up there, you're able to look down and you see where the water is. You see where some of the food is, which is down below in certain parts. You're also going to know when you're up there which areas to avoid. You're going to find a place for shelter. You know exactly where to go for shelter. And more importantly, you're going to know where to navigate to get to your journey. And God desires to lift us to this high place. Just as he lifted Moses, just as he lifted Elijah and met them in that high place, he wants to lift us up spiritually as well. Because it says that we have been seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Is anybody in the building today? We are placed with Christ Jesus. He seats us up there. Our business isn't down here. Our business is up there. When Joshua was sent out with Caleb and 10 other men to spy out the land, when Moses says, go and spy out the land of Canaan, they went and they took a survey of the entire land. And there they can see the land, and they entered into portions of the land, and they brought back great fruit from the land. And they said, the land is plentiful. Yes, we can see Jericho. Yes, we can see all these other portions of the land, and it is a bountiful land. It flows with milk and honey. And Joshua and Caleb are ready to go and possess what rightfully belongs to them. And they're saying, we see it. We've surveyed it. Yes, we understand there's some obstacles there, but God is greater than our obstacles, and we are able to take it. But 10 came back and had a different kind of perspective. What did those 10 people say? That land is a good land. It flows with milk and honey. But the people in that land are too strong for us. They're too strong for us because we were like grasshoppers in our eyes and also in their eyes. We measured ourselves up with the people in the land, and we saw that we couldn't measure up with them. They are much bigger and much stronger. They have fortified cities. There is Jericho that's there. Jericho is a walled-in city that Joshua will later go in and possess. And the gates were so wide in the city of Jericho that they would have chariot races on top of the wall of the city. That's how wide and impenetrable. That's how strong it was. And Joshua is saying, let's go. We can take this land because our God is stronger. And the people came back and said, no, we can't take this land. It's too strong for us. I wonder what heights, what levels God is calling us as a church, as a people of faith to. That he's saying, I have already given this to you, and we're looking at it from our own human perspective saying, that's impossible. We'll never be able to take it. Oh, it's a good place. Yeah, yeah, yeah. To go there and to find peace, to go there and to find purpose, to go there and to find influence, to go there and to find everything that God has promised us is a wonderful thing. But I can't go and possess that land. Why? Because I am measuring my own abilities with their abilities, and I see that I am like a grasshopper in comparison to them. And apparently, because I see myself that way, I think they see me that way as well. 38 years later, because the people now are wandering in the wilderness for 40 years because the 10 were disobedient and everybody began to cry. 38 years later, the Lord says to Joshua, prepare yourself because you're getting ready to cross the Jordan and you're going to enter Jericho first. And I have given you the land. Oh, this is good. What do we do, Lord? I want you to take the Ark of the Covenant. I want you to put it out ahead of you. I want you to have the priests carry that Ark of the Covenant, and I want them to go ahead of you, and I want them to put their feet in the water first. Why? Because my presence has to go before you first. You can't do this in your own strength. You can't do this in your own ability. You can't do this with your own wisdom, with your own resources, with your own influence. You can't do it on your own. You need the power of God. You need the glory of God. You need the presence of God to go before you. But when you wait for the glory of God to go before you, I want you to follow the glory of God. Because when you follow the glory of God into that place, I will give you the land. And Joshua said, okay, Lord, we're ready. We learned from our mistakes before. We didn't inherit the land. Now we're ready to go in and inherit that land. And as soon as the priests put their feet into that water, which was overflowing the banks of the Jordan at that time, the water stopped. And they crossed onto dry ground. And as soon as they got to Jericho, God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to walk around the city. Walk around the city? What kind of method is that? Do what I'm telling you to do. There are certain things that only you can do, and there are certain things that only I can do, God would say. What you cannot do is you cannot defeat them with your own strength. But what you can do is you can march as I'm giving you instructions to march. And pray. And prepare your heart before me. Because a day is coming in 7 days when I will tell you to march around it some 7 times. And I want you to shout unto God like you've never shouted before. And when you obey me, those walls are coming down all by themselves. Because that is what I can do. I'm giving you what only you can do so that I can do what only I can do. Are you willing? Joshua says, yes, Lord, I've learned from my father's mistakes. I've learned that we couldn't enter into the promised land that way. But let me do what you are saying to do. And they entered into that promised land. Why? Because he was able to go up high on the mountain and he was able to visualize it and to see it. Listen, God wants us. God wants us. He wants us to go on this high mountain journey and begin to discover and identify what is that promised land for me. But more importantly, it's not just what is the promised land for me. Because after they entered into Jericho and they took possession of that land, God says, now I want you to go into the next land. Go into Ai. And then I want you to go into the next land and the next land and begin to take possession of these things. Do you know that your life is not about you, my friend? Your life is not about you. And the fight that you're fighting, if the fight that you're fighting is only about you, you have already lost the war. What's that? I want you to fight on behalf of others. I want you to go in and begin to possess, not just for yourself as you've entered into the promised land, but I want you to go and fight and take more territory for those who can't fight on behalf of themselves. You have family that is unsaved. You have friends that are unsaved. You have schoolmates that are unsaved. You have coworkers that are unsaved. You have people in your family that don't know the Lord as of yet. He's saying, I want you to go and I want you to fight and I want you to possess. I want you to possess that land, and God will give you that land if you are willing to fight for it, but it doesn't come easy. Do you know what it takes? Do you know what it takes? It takes for a believer. It takes for a believer to, number one, first of all, believe God. Secondly, humble himself. Thirdly, humble themselves before God and kneeling before the holy throne of God and saying, God, I'm not going to leave this place. I'm going to continue to come back to this place until my family's saved, until my siblings are saved, until my parents, grandparents, cousins, uncles, aunts, until these people are saved, because you didn't just save me just so that I can enjoy a quality kind of life and a peaceful kind of life and live in a nice home with a two-car garage. That is not what life is about. You caused me to know you so that I can cause others to know you as well and to begin to pray and intercede on their behalf as well. Is anybody hearing me today? It's time to spy out the land and begin to see and to take what God has already given us in His Word. In His Word, which brings us to our message this morning, the perform. Are you ready? Just want to see if you're awake. Half of you are still asleep. It's okay. Performs. Verse 6. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. When we are in trouble or we need help, God performs. Just as a good father will step in as he defends his son or his daughter. Many times it's just the presence of dad that solves the problem. Dad just walks into the room, and that solves the problem. Siblings are fighting, dad walks into the room. Fight's over. There's trouble at school, dad walks into the classroom. The teacher suddenly quiets down. Speaking from experience, I'm here. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. And maybe David was thinking about his own life as he was writing this down, thinking to myself, you know, there was battles where I needed the Lord. And he was thinking about his own fight with Goliath. And he says in 1 Samuel 17:45, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with sword and with spear and with javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. He's saying, maybe others can't see him. Maybe others don't know that he's present, that he's with me, but I know that he's with me. And everyone else seems to be calling on your name, but they're not really calling on your name. But I, David, know that God is here with me. And so long as there's a fight, dad's going to step in. He helps. He helps. The natural eye can't see him, but I can see him. Or perhaps David was thinking how he was going to die by the hand of Saul. But God's invisible yet clear hand stopped the enemy. He talks about redeeming your life from the pit, from destruction. Maybe he thought about Joseph's own life in the pit where he was left there. And when it seems like heaven is silent and God isn't responding, when hope seems to be lost, looking back, we know that God was orchestrating every single step. God was there the entire time and he never let go of the situation. Sometimes God's hand is very clear where he stops the mouth of the lion or he walks in the middle of the flame, but other times he seems to be silent. He seems to be silent. Listen to Deuteronomy 31. Be strong and courageous. Verse 6. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. What's that? God is always with me? Always. 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 There's never a time where God leaves you. There's never a time where he doesn't perform. When you need him to step in and perform, he's always there. He's always fighting on your behalf. We just don't know it most of the time. Much of the time, we're not even aware because we think these bad things are happening to me. Listen, If the permissive hand of God is allowing things to happen in your life, rest assured, He's allowing it to happen, but He's shaping your character and He's providing a way of escape at the same time. But He's saying, all along, I'm drawing you close to my heart. I want you to know me. I want you to rely on me. I want you to stop relying on your own strength, your own wisdom, your own resources, and I want you to begin to rely on me. Learn from the lessons of the past. Learn from the lessons of a person like Joseph, who is thrown into prison and it looks like it's over. It looks like it's finished. It looks like there is no hope. But when the time came, somebody say, when the time came. When the time came, the king's word sent for him and brought him out. It wasn't Pharaoh's word. It was the word from God the Father. Heavenly Father brought that time into such a place where Joseph can now step in. And he's saying, Joseph, you see, everything that you have been through in the past was preparing you for such a time as this, because now I have a role for you to play. You didn't understand it a minute ago, but now it's all coming to fruition. Now it's all coming together because I never leave you. I never forsake you. I always perform on behalf of those that call on me, those that trust in me. I always, always perform. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that God performs on your behalf? Because it seemed like David forgot. And he said this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, I want you to do what? Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits." Because I tend to forget. Are you like me? You tend to forget? I forget easily. "Who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases, who crowns your life with loving kindness and tender mercies." Listen, this is our God. And so I need to remind myself and speak to myself and say, God, you are my creator. You are my deliverer. You are the one that has caused me to be here with a purpose. You are the one that has ordained me to be here for such a time as this. Help me not forget that you are with me always, that you are the one that fights my battles for me. And you are the one that wants to lift me to new heights. You are the ones that want to show me the promised land. And I'm stuck in a wilderness and I'm tired of being in the wilderness. God, I am ready to enter into the promised land. He's saying, if you're ready to enter into the promised land, I want you to come up to new heights. I want you to come to new heights. I want you to look. I want you to look at the promises of God, but not just for yourself, but for other people as well. And from there, you'll be able to see. Be able to see where the water is and where the food is, where the sustenance is, where the enemy is, and how you're going to fight your enemy. I want to show it all to you. I want to reveal my heart to you. And all along, all I'm saying is, God, just help me pay my next bill. Would you please help the kids to behave? Would you please help me on the job? Help this next deal at work to go through. Help me get past this next hurdle in my life. And He's saying, stop clucking like a chicken. You're clucking like a chicken down here when I have heights for you to soar up there. I've taken care of these things. If you will but just trust me, if you will but just trust me, I am the God who created you. Nothing goes unnoticed with God. I understand it. I am here, but I am drawing you to new heights. I pray this brings clarity into your heart this morning. This brings an element of freedom and truth to you this morning, that you are not alone. Your Father is there. Your Father is there. Your Father is there. He created you. And He's saying, I'm here with you. And I will not finish what I began. I will not stop what I began with you. I will bring it to completion. I will bring it to fruition. If you will, but just trust me. Let's pray together. Our Lord pardons. He forgives. He forgives every sin. He forgives every sin. The only caveat to that is that you have to confess your sin. You have to confess your sin. Whatever you're being bound to, whatever you're addicted to, whatever you're enslaved to, confess it to Him today. If it's a bad relationship, if it's a habit, if it's a hang-up, whatever it is, confess it to Him today, because He pardons. Secondly, He pities you. He has compassion on you because He knows how frail and how weak you are. God promotes. He lifts us up. He lifts us up to new heights. He wants to take us into the heights to soar with him, and then finally he performs. In the nick of time. In the nick of time. He performs on behalf of those that need him and call upon him. Lord, we bless your name today. We bless your name, just like David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you because you're good. Thank you because you are a good father. Thank you because you take care of us. And even though David couldn't experience the tenderness of an earthly loving father, but he experienced your tenderness. And he's saying, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Help us all here, Lord God. Any person that's here today who's been unable to experience the tenderness of an earthly father, to experience your tenderness. As you wrap them with a warm blanket of love, Lord God. As you cause each person's heart to be warmed with your gentle embrace. And with the reminder that I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. My eyes are always upon you. I have a good and plentiful land, a precious land, for you to enter and to possess. And though there may be enemies in that land, I have already given you the victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless your name today. We bless your name today. We bless your name today. We honor you today. We thank you. Thank you today. I want you to take just the next moment, please. Just the next moment. If you need to make something right between you and God, take the next 60 seconds between you and the Lord. If you need to confess something to him, then confess it. A certain weakness, a certain hang-up, a certain addiction, a certain relationship. Whatever you need to confess before you and God, confess it to him now. Know and trust that he is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, again, we thank you this morning because your arms of compassion are open to us, your arms of forgiveness. The doors of forgiveness, Lord God, are open. And you've given us lungs, you've given us air in our lungs, Lord God, to breathe and to reconcile with you. Pray that you would give us the heart behind it. Pray that you would give us the willingness, the desire, Lord God, behind it, to come and to confess and to leave these things at your feet, trusting. Believing, Lord God, that you desire to set us free and that you will set us free. For that, we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name. I'd like to take a moment, and after, if we can pass the offering thing around, because we forgot to do that earlier. We'd like to pray for, where's Nancy? In the nursery? Could somebody call Nancy? What? A beautiful baby boy almost a year ago, been struggling with some health issues, and ask that we pray for her as a church. And so if you wouldn't mind just stretching your hand forward as we lift her up in prayer now. Thank you. So I just had a thought about something with respect to prayer. If you are struggling in your own health issues, waiting on a touch from God for you, I want to challenge and encourage you to, again, either after service, to again pray with Nancy or pray with someone that you know needs a touch as a declaration of faith that I'm not going to wait for everything in my life to be perfect for me to take a step of faith. But I'm going to take a step of faith now, trusting that God can do for others what I'm waiting for him to do for myself. This is declaring before heaven, God, your word is more real to me than my own reality. And I believe that you are the God, my healer. You are Jehovah Rapha. And though I may not experience it yet in my own physical body, I'm going to pray for someone else and believe for their healing and declare before heaven, I'm taking a step of faith. God, I'm taking you at your word. I'm not going to climb back into my own cocoon waiting for life to get better, because it hasn't, has it? It hasn't, and it never will. We need to climb out of that cocoon, go into the mountaintops, go into the heights, take a step and do something different and say, God, I choose to trust you. I choose to trust you. Amen?
There is freedom in the house of the Lord. God has given us freedom in this place, and I want to encourage you to take a step. You know, if you need prayer, just come. You know, and we will pray with you. We are believing, and we are waiting for God to reveal himself in such a powerful way, and I know the day is coming where God's going to pour out his spirit unlike anything we've ever seen before. We are waiting, we are believing, and we are trusting that God's going to meet with us this day. So you know what? As Michael continues to worship, take out a step of faith. If you want to pray with someone wherever you're at, then pray. If you need prayer and you want to come up here, just feel free. Because there is freedom in God's presence, right? God brought freedom in this place. And we want
spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. But I took a breath, you breathed your life. Been so, so kind to me. Yeah. Still,